All right. Good morning. Oh, come on. Good morning. Didn't we have a beautiful time of worship this morning? But guess what? Worship's not for us. It's actually for God. Amen. But isn't it wonderful to be a part of it and just a beautiful time? So proud of our team this morning. And Merry Christmas to me. We had strings this morning too, which is just so beautiful. Yeah. Amen. Just real quick, let me go over calendar for you a little bit. This Friday, am I right, is Christmas Eve. So December 24th, this Friday is Christmas Eve. We will be having Christmas Eve services at 4 o'clock and at 5:30, and you will want to be here. They're one-hour services, just 1 hour, so that you can go and do the rest of what you're going to go and do. But I just think it's an important and beautiful time. It's going to be an absolutely beautiful service, and candlelight communion or candlelight service, and just going to be a beautiful time. You'll be able to participate as well, and just a real honoring family time. And you got maybe relatives coming in from out of town. They don't know nothing about Jesus or church. Bring them, okay? They'll love it anyway. And so come for that. Then on Christmas Day, which is next Saturday, we have prepared a Christmas Day webcast. It's short. And I'm just greeting you, sharing a little bit with you about Christmas. It's a good way to kind of gather everybody together. Over the years, I've had people say, we want to do something on Christmas morning, and I just feel awkward or don't know what to do. And you'll get a link to this, and you can just pull it up online, put it on the screen, put it on your new TV, whatever. And then you can watch for just a few moments. I'll share a few things with you and declare some blessing and pray over your home and your gathering. And then a week from today is December 26th, and we will be having services, regular times, 9 o'clock and 11, and you'll want to come and be a part of that as well. As I said last week, we wrestled a little bit, you know, do we do it or not? And we just really felt, yeah, absolutely, we'll do it. And so we'll be here a week from today, and I trust that you'll be here as well, and pray that you just have an awesome Christmas season. On the Christmas Eve service, we're going to be receiving a special offering that night. It's an outreach offering. All of it will go toward four of our outreach partners. We have many, but we have four that in particular that I wanted to zero in on. Some of them have to do with Women's Pregnancy Center, Convoy of Hope. They're helping people in the path of that tornado. Just about any crisis that comes up, they are mobilized and in. Kimberly Center, and then foster parents. And so we're helping in a whole lot of ways where there's absolutely real direct ministry. And so let's come and let's prepare an offering, bring a good offering on that night. All of that will go toward those organizations and be a real blessing to them for what they're doing. Amen? And I want to encourage you to be a giver. And, you know, you guys are just so generous toward the work of the Lord here, and we're so grateful for that because we have much to do, and you're helping us to do that. And I just want to encourage you, you should be a giver, because you know this, you know that you need to put God first in your life. Nobody really argues about that. Whether or not he is in first place, you know he should be in first place. And he really can't be in first place if you exclude areas from him, okay? And one of the most areas of focus and concern for most people are their finances. And I promise you, if you put God first, I don't care what area of life, put him first, he will help you with the rest. And once you put him first in your finances, you'll never go back. You can never outgive God. And I'm promising you, once you start to see the blessing of God that's on your life, the peace that comes from that, and the help of God in all arenas of life, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It does something to you to be a giver. So I want to encourage you, if you're not already a giver, be a giver. Be a giver. God's going to meet the needs of the ministry. I promise you that. He always has, 32 years. So I'm not trying to drum up anything. I'm just telling you, you need to put God first place in all areas of your life. Can I get an amen for that today? And then lastly, after every service, say every service. So whether or not I remember or take the time to do it after every service. Our prayer team is going to be right over here in the area of that big screen over there. And if you need prayer for anything, come and let them agree with you in prayer. As I say, it's not a time for counseling. It's a time for agreement and prayer to have somebody stand in the gap, stand in faith with you, and pray for those things that you're carrying. Don't walk out of here carrying burdens that you can pray with somebody and have the Lord to help you with. Amen. All right, well, let's look at our definition of Christmas, and I believe that it's a good one. This is working for us here. Christmas is the celebration of the entrance of our Savior into the world. Could you read that with me here? Christmas is the celebration of the entrance of our Savior into the world, and I like to think into my world, and it is a celebration. Well, last service thought it was. It is a celebration. And a lot of people don't know what they're celebrating. We do. We do know what we're celebrating. And notice this, it's the entrance of his celebration. So if it's his entrance, celebration of the entrance of our Savior into our world, we want to make room for that. And that is what we've called our December series, is we make room. I've got all my kids and their spouses, those that are married, and grandkids are going to be with us. We'll have them for a number of days over Christmas. And we're so excited about that. And to have them, but we've got room, but we've also got to make room. And part of that means we want to spruce up this room, and we want to move that stuff and make sure this is all ready. Because you want to make room for that entrance, for them to come. We've got a house that we raised five kids in. And everybody had their own bedroom, and I've got a study and so forth. And so we got a big two-story house that we've lived in for 22 years. How many? 23 years. I missed 1 year somewhere. 23 years. And we've thought, Alicia and I, you know, it's pretty much us now. And we've thought maybe we should downsize. But I don't know. We get close to this time, and it's like, where would we put all these people? You know, I'd have to rent out someplace and you know, to have them all home. But my point is this, is we make room. And so if we're celebrating the entrance of our Savior into our world, we want to make room for that. And like I said, some people are celebrating. They don't even know what they're celebrating. And our culture keeps adding on so many other things. You know, the Christmas edition of Cheetos. I mean, it's just everything. And we don't even know what it has to do with anything. Let's make sure that you celebrate indeed, but remember what and why that we are celebrating. And as always, there's some people that get more into it than others. And this past week, I found a little video clip I want to show you online. And just watch this little lady. Watch this, if you will. I love her. I'm going to have them play it again here in a second. I want you to notice something. I just wish I had her freedom and confidence, you know? But if you'll notice, a little shepherd boy kind of turns away, and then he's looking back at her, and she kind of pops at him. And watch this and catch that this time. Go ahead, show it again. I love her. She's awesome. Blessings on her mama and daddy. All right. Well, next week, by now, Christmas Day has passed. And as a kid, that was always a little bit of letdown. You know, you wait for it, you wait for it. Can't wait for school to get out. You're on Christmas break. There's all the buildup of it. You know, all of that happening, and then it's over, and there's a little bit of a letdown. And I think if we understand this right, yeah, we'll have the seasonal letdown and family and so forth, and a little bit of that. But I want to take us past the manger today, and I want to take us past the cross today, and I want to go to our everyday life. What does this mean? What difference does this make? Because if Christmas is just a celebration that he came, well, what did he do? What does it matter? What does it did it make a difference? Is there something that, you know, a week from now, a month from now, will make a difference in my life because of what we're celebrating right now? And I believe that there really, really is. And so I want to focus in on that a little bit today. Let's go right into Isaiah chapter 9. And the prophet writes, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called," read that with me, "his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." I want to talk about his name this morning. Now, let me back up just a little bit. So let's go past the manger. Let's go past the cross. And what is the impact of all of that on me today and in the days to come? Because here's reality, okay? Christmas is Saturday. Next Sunday, here's reality, some of you will already have your tree and decorations down. Who is it? I want to see who is it. Who does it? They're being squirrely about it, but there's some people, "Oh, it's over. And then there's other people, it's still up in March, you know? Well, what I'm after is, what is the impact of this? What difference does this make in our life? And it has everything to do with his name. His name. Now, this passage we just read out of Isaiah is like his prophetic birth announcement. This gives his names. This gives his divine titles, if you will. And his names listed, in particular here in Isaiah, they're, first of all, incredibly intentional, they're meaningful, and they're inspired. Sometimes in our culture, we're not as careful about our names. We come up with all kinds of names. Now, when I was born, I was named Timothy Lee Gilligan. And my parents weren't necessarily serving the Lord when I was born. But the culture tended to be a little more focused on Christian value and that kind of thing. So my name Timothy means honoring God. My middle name Lee means meadow dweller, meadow brook. Who knew? And Gilligan means stranded on an island. No, it doesn't. Gilligan actually means a page or a future knight. And I looked up, these are real true names that people have given their children, okay? Febreze. Nyquila, Danger, Apple, Murica, Northwest, and here's one, you ready? This is my favorite one, Olive Garden. It's for real. So be careful what you name folks, but here's my point. God reveals himself by his names. God reveals himself by his names. So his character, his nature, his abilities, his intentions, all of those, God chooses to reveal them through his names. Now let's keep going with this idea. Look in Psalm 91. The psalmist writes, "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high." Help me out with the highlighted part here. What? Because he has known my name. Verse 15, he shall call upon me. Now listen, to call, you've got to know who to call. He shall call upon me and I will answer him and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. In Psalm 9, verse 9 and 10, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Verse 10, and those who, help me, those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. So the Lord reveals himself by his names. And if you don't know him to be something, you won't call upon him to be that. The Lord says, because you have known my name, because you call upon me because you know my name. If you don't know, you won't call. And if you don't call, just the Psalm 9 passage, you'll remain oppressed and you'll remain exposed and vulnerable. But he said, because you've known my name, you put your trust in me. God reveals himself through his names. And if you don't know him to be, for example, a healer, you'll never ask him to heal you. If you don't know him to be a provider, are y'all here? If you don't know him to be a provider, you'll never ask him for provision. If you don't know him to be a protector or to be the all-wise God or to be your counselor or your guide or your peace, whatever, you won't ask him. And can I tell you the dirtiest trick the devil has ever played? You ready? It's called religion. Religion. And so if religion, I don't want to be religious. I don't want to be religious. I want to be a full-throated follower of Jesus, a disciple following Jesus, growing in him. That's the greatest thing you can have, is a growing relationship with God. But what religion does sometimes, and especially if it's not handled properly, then we get into extremes, and all extremes lead to error. False teaching, wrong teaching, ignorance, excess, all kinds of things can happen. And in the guise of religion, sometimes we're taught, I was told this even, the Lord no longer heals. The Lord no longer does this. Who told you that when you turn to his book and he says, I am the same yesterday and today and forever? And so we have a responsibility to rightly divide the word of truth. And by knowing God's word, God's going to reveal himself in his word, and he's going to reveal himself through his names. And when you see his names, we're not going to get a 2022 addendum to the Bible that says, please take these things out and please add this in. This is forever settled in heaven. And God watches over his word to perform it. Heaven and earth will pass away. Not one word of God's word will pass away. Not one, not one. And God reveals himself through his names. He's still a healer. What do I got to do? Bring the strings back? What's the deal here? He's still a healer. He's still a provider. He's still my peace. He's still my counselor. He's still my protector. He's still my guide. He's still my comfort. He's still my joy. He's my shield. He's my refuge. He's my everything, everything, everything. He still is. But you've got to know him. You've got to know his names. And that gives you the courage and the faith to call upon him to be that in your life. Amen. Matthew 1:21, let's bring it up to Christmas. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall, come on everybody, call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, save has the idea of heal. How many of you know that we do need healing from sin? Because sin damages. Save means to heal, to deliver, to protect, to restore, to make whole. So what we have, not just the commission of sins we have committed, guess what else we have? We have the condition of sin. And the condition of sin is what remains, the residual that happens because sin is in our life and in our world. We talked about it in our series this fall, Done with Dysfunction. And I would recommend that you go back. It's all online. You can go back and watch and listen or whatever. We're actually also working on a book, too, Done with Dysfunction. But as we saw, there have been things in motion for generations to make you less than what you're supposed to be today. There's been the result of sin and brokenness that have come through family, through people that were influential or in proximity of your life that have impacted you in a bad way, brought us to here. We have the condition of sin that we live in this world. You and I, I'm not against your mom and dad, but guess what? We were all born into sin. We're born into a world that is deeply affected by the result of sin. Are y'all here? Don't worry, good news is coming. And the Bible says, the angel says, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So it's not just the sins committed, but the condition of sin, including shame and damage and ruin and impact and brokenness and addiction and bondage and all of that. He has come to save us from those things as well. Amen. Can I get a better amen on that?
Amen.
I mean, I'm telling you. The Bible gives us 256 names for Jesus. 256 names for Jesus. Now, I've got just a partial list here, but I mean, he's the bread of life. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the living bread. He's the living water. He's the chief. He's the Alpha, he's the Omega, he's the beginning, he's the end. He's the Amen. He is the Prince of Peace. We could go on and on. There's 256 names. So obviously, one name does not fully describe him. There's not one name that fully describes all that he is, all that he's able to do, all that he does. But there is one name. There's one name that implies and contains everything he is and does, and that name is the name that is above every other name, the name, come on, help me, Jesus. So when you and I say Jesus, come on, let's say it again, Jesus. When we handle that right, when we say that with just a little bit of understanding, we realize that everything he is, everything he does, everything he's able to do is implied and contained in the name that is above every name that is named, the name of, come on, say it with me again, Jesus, Jesus. There is power. We just sang it. There's power. There's freedom. There's healing. There's life. There's joy. There's help in the name of Jesus. Come on, say it one more time, Jesus. What we must do, and my prayer for all of us and for myself, is to be filled with a well-grounded amazement at the absolute authority that is in the name of Jesus. One of the things that our world, our culture, the days that we're in, and even religion has done is to kind of soften that and neutralize that. And what I feel God wants us to know, especially in the days that we're in, you need to have an absolute awareness of the absolute authority that is contained in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I'm going to make quick work here through several verses to establish something. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Far above, come on, everybody say far above. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and come on, above every name that is named, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, that's us, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That is a loaded passage. We spent more time on that passage in our series, Gladiator, another one to go back to. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 through 11. Though he was God, Jesus, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he, watch this, gave up his divine privileges. Now, he did not give up being God. He gave up the glory part of it. He did not give up the deity part of it. He gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was, come on, okay, get this, born as a human being, Merry Christmas. Okay, that's the celebration of the entrance of our Savior, born as a human being, when he appeared in human form, and he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Guess what? Happy Easter. The full work of the cross and the resurrection. Because of all of that, verse 9, therefore God exalted or elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him, come on church, help me, gave him the name above all other names. Say it again, the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that, what? Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's why he came, was to bring glory. He laid down his glory, he kept his deity, he became human, humbled himself, obeyed God, went to the cross, took care of some business. And we're going to come back to that. He took care, he dealt with some things, he settled some things, rose again from the dead, brought glory to the Father, was reestablished and set at the right hand of the Father in glory, in majesty. He lost nothing and he gained his children back. Amen. Amen. Now, quickly, Jesus is superior to every spiritual being or entity that exists. Now, there's a war going on. We talked about this in Gladiator. There's a war. There's a war between God and Satan. There's a war between light and dark. There's a war between good and evil. There are two kingdoms. Put everything in context of that. Everything. That's the war and the stuff that's in the middle. Well, here's the good news. If you're in the family of God, if Jesus is Lord, you're on the winning side. Okay, then sometimes it looks like, I don't think we're winning. Hang on, Bubba. Just stay put. And you will see. You will see. God will have his way. Victory is God's. Amen. And he even causes us to triumph in life. This is not just about being sad and suffering and just dragging through. God will help you in life. That's what all his promises are about. That's what his grace and his peace are for. That's why we have the Holy Spirit, who is our helper, to help us in this life. Amen. But we need to understand that in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light, in the kingdom of God, there's God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, myriads of angels, and then he has his sons and daughters that obey him and serve him. In the kingdom of Satan, you have the devil, and you have principalities and powers and mights and dominions and rulers, unseen spiritual forces. And then you got demons and spirits, and you're like, oh, pastor, come on, you just lost me right there. No, stay with me. And it's a for real deal, and that's what the enemy wants you to do, to either make too much of it or make nothing of it. And there's a reality about it, and we just need to be informed so that we know how to handle all of this. And this is the good news. Jesus is superior. Hold on. Jesus is superior over all, any and all spiritual beings or entities. All right, look at me though. Look at me. But we are not without him. And what he has given us, among other things, is his name. He has given us his name as a badge, as a pass, as a gold card, y'all, as a weapon, as a tool. He has given us his name. He has power over all of these things, and he has given us his name. Now, you and I may not fully know what all is vested in the name of Jesus, but I promise you every spiritual entity does. We may not recognize the full authority of Jesus' name, but when you and I handle the name of Jesus properly, I'm telling you, I wish we could see. I wish we had spiritual cameras, that in your life or in this place, when you begin to exalt Jesus, I'm telling you, the enemy is like, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Well, he didn't say, oh God, but cannot stand it. And I'm telling you, when you worship the Lord, when you call on the name of Jesus, it pushes back darkness. We're in sanctuary right now. You're going to leave here in just a little bit. And you better go in the name of Jesus. And you better carry the name of Jesus with you. And you need to know at least a little that the absolute authority that is vested in the name of Jesus Darkness knows it. Darkness knows it. You use the name of Jesus properly, I'm telling you, darkness knows. We need to know more about the power and authority that's in Jesus' name. Amen. He has given us what is we would refer to as power of attorney. So he's given the right for us to use his name on his behalf. And when power of attorney is given, usually it's itemized a little bit. There's some, you can do this, you can do this, and you can do this. Scripture lines out some of those things that we have the power of authority. We can pray in Jesus' name. We can ask in Jesus' name. We can call in the name of Jesus. We can preach and teach in Jesus' name. Do you know this? You can lay hands on the sick in Jesus' name. You can heal in Jesus' name. You can encourage in Jesus' name. You can cast out in Jesus' name. You can drive away in Jesus' name. You're to give in Jesus' name. We gather in Jesus' name. You're to go in Jesus' name. Matthew 18, then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, because of that, you go." You go. We are able to go in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, the fifth book of the New Testament is called Acts. Actually, it is called this. The Acts, bring that up if you will. There's me. The Acts of the Apostles. Technically, it's the second volume of the Gospel of Luke. And it's the Acts of the Apostles. It's recording what the apostles did, you ready for this? After the resurrection of Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit and equipped with the name of Jesus. And when you read it through that lens, you'll see it's the Acts of the Apostles. You've been given the Holy Spirit, and you have been given the power and the authority to use Jesus' name. Amen? Now, in Acts chapter 3, and I'll just relate this to you, Peter and John are going to the temple for the hour of prayer, which was 3 o'clock. As they're going, they pass through a gate that is called Beautiful at the temple. And there's a man there, approximately 40 years of age. He was born lame. His legs didn't work. He had some deformity and he had weakness. And so every day, friends of his would come and would just set him by that gate. So as people came and went from the temple, he would beg alms. That's how he made his living. He'd ask for, you know, give me something, I'm poor, I can't work. And so Peter and John were coming, and he's begging, and Peter looks at him and he says, "Look at me." And he looks at him, and look here in Acts chapter 3, we'll read this. It says, "Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have,'" watch carefully, "'but what I do have, I give you.'" What I do have, I give you. "In the what? In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength." Amen. What did he have? He had the name of Jesus. He had all that was in Jesus. Everything implied and contained that he is and he does and he's able to do is in the name of Jesus. He had the authority to use the name of Jesus. I don't have silver and gold. Here's what I do have. I have the name of Jesus. You know what happened next? It says that the man jumped up and he was walking and leaping and praising God. What would you do? No, come on. What would you do? I mean, you'd be a little bit fired up, I think. And it created a stir. And so people came and they're crowding around. And after a while, Peter said, "Why do you look at us so amazed like we did this? Like we had some kind of power, or we did this in our own name or godliness." He said, "We did this through the power of the name of Jesus." The crowd was so big, and he began to preach then about Jesus and a resurrected Jesus that had just happened months before this. And so they were taken into custody, and they're brought before these religious leaders and rulers. And let's pick up here in verse 7. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power or what name did you do this?" Skip down to verse 10. Peter speaks up and he says, "Know this, you and all the people of Israel. It is by," help me, church, It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let me stop right there. In the Amplified Bible, it says, it is in the name and through the power and authority of Jesus, whom you crucified, but God raised him from the dead, that this man stands before you. They've been given the authority and the use of the name of Jesus. Look at me. You've been given the authority and the use of the name of Jesus. It's yours. Now, hang on. We celebrate Christmas. We celebrate the entrance of our Savior. We celebrate he was born on Christmas Day. We celebrate and we do all of that. And we should, and I want you to, and I'm going to. But what about next week, and what about next month? I've got to know why he came and what he did and the significance of you shall call his name Jesus. Now, hear this again. 256 names don't fully describe who he is and what he can do. 256 names, and there's probably more. But implied and contained in one name that's been exalted by God over every other name that is named, the name of Jesus, it's contained in there. He said, I want you to go in my name. I want you to pray in my name. I want you to lay hands on in my name. I want you to do all of this in my name. I want you to live in my name. I want you to fight it out in my name. Take the name. You and I have got to know that we have the right to use his name. And whether or not we fully understand what all is vested in his name, I promise you darkness does. You may not know what you have, but it's like you've got a sword and you not, don't know how to use it and you're moving around. I promise you there are going to people be ducking. And there's power, there's authority, there's healing, there's freedom, there's beauty, there's wholeness in the name of Jesus. Amen. You have been given the authority to use it. Now look at this. Use the name of Jesus to enforce anything that was dealt with and settled at the cross. So if it was dealt with at the cross, if it was settled at the cross, you can use the name of Jesus. Let me itemize just a little bit of this. Temptation. Anybody here ever deal with temptation? I can't see the hands. I'm just looking. All right, good. Me too. Did you know that you can invoke the name of Jesus as you battle temptation? Temptation is a solicitation of the enemy to do something, to meet some kind of need in a way other than what God wants for you. It's to cheat somehow, and it always spoils, it always lets down. And the enemy just wants to get you across that line and get you let down again. But I'm telling you, there's power in the name of Jesus to resist temptation. What about sin? Anybody here sinned since Valentine's or breakfast? Okay. Did you know that because of the work of the cross, sin shall no longer have dominion over you? You've got to talk back to temptation and sin. Well, I have an addiction or I have a habit and it's been a long, long time. And the name of Jesus is above every name that is named. And I'm telling you, we've got to know the authority that is in Jesus' name and talk back. Sin, temptation, I'm not giving in. You do not have dominion over me in the name of Jesus. This was dealt with at the cross and Jesus has given me the power to be free from you. You will not control my life anymore in Jesus' name. Amen. That was a script for somebody. See, here's what life is. Life is what was done to you, what you have done, and what Jesus did for you on the cross. And you're to use the name of Jesus to enforce everything that he dealt with and settled on the cross. What about shame, fear, sickness, lack, freedom, confusion, heaviness, darkness, evil, anxiety, depression? And we've got to realize, use the name of Jesus. Look at me. It's not dependent on your emotions. I don't feel real churchy or spiritual right. That's the time all the more that you need the name of Jesus. It's not based upon your performance. I don't know. I've had a tricky couple days here. I don't know if I... No, you have been given the power to use the name of Jesus that will work on your behalf. I wish there were some believers here at church today. You're not to use the name of Jesus for trivial things. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to win at Monopoly tonight. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to get that parking space. I don't think those things were dealt with at the cross. Has nothing to do. Now, favor will help you. But let's not use it in the wrong way. All extremes lead to error. When you're using the name of Jesus, you do not use the name of Jesus for show. You do not use the name of Jesus to be weird. You don't. If you're going to live under the name of Jesus, you better conduct yourself properly and gentle, becoming more and more like him. Don't do anything for self-glory or to gain attention. Let me say it again. Don't be weird. Okay? God is doing things in these days that he wants you to use the name of Jesus in your everyday life wherever you go. And a lot of that is very, very private. A lot of it is very, very private. And sometimes it's with permission of others. Can I pray for you? You don't just run in and lay hands on folks or whatever. You use it with some permission. But you've got to use it with some knowledge and with some confidence that everything about him is vested and contained in the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 19, the Apostle Paul, full of the Holy Spirit, with the authority of Jesus' name, cast some demons out of some people. And there are some guys who watched that and they thought, oh, let's do this too. Seven brothers, Larry, Daryl, and Daryl. The seven sons of Sceva. They went and they found a man who was also demon-possessed, and they said, we adjure you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out of him. The demon spoke up out of the man and said this, Jesus we know, Paul we know, who are you? And it says that the demon used that guy and beat them all up, seven of them, bloodied them, stripped their clothes off, and ran them out of the house, bloody and naked. Listen, they didn't know. They didn't know Jesus. They didn't know the power that's vested in the name of Jesus. Listen, don't make this what it is not. It is very simply faith in and the use of the name of Jesus. And you've got to know the power that is vested and don't use it in some frivolous other way. It's all in faith in and the use of the name of Jesus. Now, here's my question. I want to wrap up with this. How much in your life, think about this with me. How much is being allowed in your life that's harassing you and limiting you that you actually have authority over in the name of Jesus? Is there confusion going on in your life? Is there distraction going on in your life? Is there sadness going on in your life? Are there things that Jesus dealt with at the cross and got settled, but we're redeemed from, and yet we just allow it? Is there sickness that's come to you and you've not resisted it? Did you know that at the cross, Jesus bore stripes on his back? His promises of healing are tied to the cross. When sickness tries to come to you, you need to resist it in Jesus' name. Now, you know, I believe all healing is from God. But your first part better be to resist in the name of Jesus. I believe this, and I'm not hyping this up a bit. There are times symptoms try to come on me. I'm not perfect at this. I have a doctor. I need a doctor. I needed him a week ago. I did. And he helped me out. I believe all healing is from God. But when the onset of anything, I'm not just saying, oh, I'm getting sick. No, I'm getting up. In the name of Jesus, I resist you. You're not just coming into my body. In the name of Jesus, I'm redeemed from this. Jesus paid a dear price. He bore stripes upon his back so that I could be well, so I could be healed. Now, I don't know why I don't get it 100% of the time, but I tell you what I do get 100% of the time, and that is when heaviness tries to come on. Did you know that heaviness is a spirit? It tries to come on all of you. You can't even figure out, why am I down? What is this? You just feel that heaviness. I've done this. I've taught this to you for 3 decades now. In the name of Jesus, whatever you are, whoever you are, in the name of Jesus, leave me now. And if it doesn't happen on the first time, at least by the second time, I told you in the name of Jesus, leave. Leave me now. How can you do that? Because it was taken care of at the cross. And everything that was taken care of the cross is included in the name of Jesus. And he gives us his name. And he says, now use my name. If there's strife and stress, you're not coming in here. You're not doing this in the name of Jesus. When there's fear, no, I resist you in Jesus' name. You've got to use the name of Jesus. Praying over your food, praying for your children, praying for whatever. Use the name of Jesus. Don't pray just some boxed religious prayer. Realize that the power and authority of the name that's above every name that is named, he said, take it, use it. Now listen, I don't have permission to share the fullness of this story, so with a whole lot of detail redacted, okay? A friend of mine who in an organization is in very high places, and he gave me a favor recently. And I said, well, when I get there, what do I do? And he said, you tell him you're there as my guest. Yes, sir. So when I got to the first part of it all, I said, I'm here as a guest of, oh, well, yes, sir. Come right on. And what do you need? And then later on, I said, he messaged me and I said, what do I go to this other part? What do I do? And he said, when you walk in that room, you just tell them, mention my name. I said, yes, sir. I walk in, they said, yes, how may we help you? And I said, I'm here as a guest of, and I gave the name. I used his name. And you would have thought I owned the place because I used his name. Listen to me, wherever you go, use his name. Now, you don't use it in the face of people, you know? You don't tell somebody at the complaint counter, you listen to me in Jesus' name. No, you're gonna get hauled out as a weirdo, okay? This is a spiritual battle. This is not against flesh and blood. You don't cast out people. You don't do it. But you use the name of Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Gather in the name of Jesus. I'm speaking in Jesus' name. Whatever you would do, do it in his name. Know that your help comes from the Lord. It's the name that's above every name that is named. There's no other name given under heaven where you can be saved. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Psalm 124, verse 8, who made heaven and earth. I'm always struck with this. If he made heaven and earth, he can help me. Your help, my help, is in the name of the Lord. Everything about him, everything he can do, is contained in the name of Jesus. And he said, take my name, go live your life, use my name, the authority that's in it. I'm telling you what, that is going to help us to get through. That is why we celebrate the entrance of our Savior into the world, because his name shall be called, and you use his name. Amen? Did y'all get anything at all out of this? All right.